Today, I'm going to talk about continuity. The sort of continuity that happens when things are passed on from generation to generation. I've watched quite a few programs on TV recently where this sort of thing's happened. It's quite interesting to hear from young women who are running sheep farms out in the middle of nowhere and to hear them say, well, sheep farming has been in the family for generations. Sheepdog handlers say, well, their father did it, their grandfather, their great-grandfather. People at home on the sea will tell you that their ancestors were ship's captains. The basic urge to do these things seems to be in that person, and you could say it's in their genes. But usually there's a personal touch. Somebody passes on the enthusiasm, the expertise, and somebody encourages and supports them as they do it. I wonder if you can think of a person who was instrumental at some point in you becoming a Christian. Or I wonder if you can think of somebody, perhaps somebody sitting in church this morning, who encourages you and helps you as you try to live your life following Jesus. You see, I believe that the basic urge to know and to love God is in each one of us. I've got a poem at home that says, "You have put an upward reach into the heart of man." You know, that upward reach in you that just wants to know God. And I believe that Jesus calls every single one of us to follow him. But God's given us free will. And whether we turn to him or not, or whether we say yes to Jesus' call, depends on us. Most people need some sort of a nudge from somebody else, or some influence to get them to the point where they hear Jesus' call, where they know what it means. And most people need some encouragement just to keep going. This whole process in Christianity started in the New Testament with the people who'd met Jesus and knew him, preaching the gospel and new churches springing up all over the place. Paul was a brilliant example of how it's done. Wherever he went, he preached the gospel of Jesus. And before he left that place, he made sure that there were people there to take on his work. And then when he'd left, he made sure that he kept in touch, encouraging and supporting. We've been reading in the last couple of weeks one of his letters to the Colossian church. He'd never been there himself. But that church had come about because somebody who had heard about Jesus through Paul at Ephesus, somebody called Epaphras, had then gone to Colossae and told them about Jesus. And that's how the church had started. So that's the ribbon of continuity of Jesus' followers beginning to move out around the world, the Church of Jesus Christ. But the church at Colossae was under threat. There was a two-pronged attack on it. The Jews didn't like the fact that it was mainly Gentiles, because their God was meant to be only for the Jews and not just for anybody, they thought anyhow. Then there were others who were spreading all sorts of different theories and rubbishing the idea of Jesus being all-powerful and being God. Jesus was far too accessible, they said, to be a God figure. They couldn't accept salvation was there for everybody. God could surely only be approached by people of superior knowledge. And Paul was so frustrated because he was in prison or house arrest or whatever, but he was chained to a Roman soldier. He couldn't go anywhere. He didn't know the people at this church. How could he get over to these new Christians that their faith was something to be treasured, to be nurtured? How could he reassure them? We read last week how he set out just who Jesus Christ was, all-powerful, emphasizing his completeness in contrast to the emptiness of the human philosophy that was going around there. And today we're going to read on from that. It's on page 1183 in the Pew Bibles. Page 1183, Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, reading from verse 24 and reading on into chapter 2. Colossians 1, 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Amen. Thanks be to God. So in today's reading, Paul's tackling the problems at Colossae head on. He emphasizes that the good news of Jesus is for all believers. That's what the saints means, just believers. It's for all of them. And the gospel of Jesus, the word of God in all its mystery and amazement, is for believers, for all the Gentiles. And since the Colossian church was predominantly Gentile, they needed to hear this. This was for them. And Paul sums up this mystery in seven amazing words: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This all-sufficient Jesus, this Jesus I've been describing to you, says Paul, is for you and in you. And through him, you have a future to look forward to. This is a real and living God, as close to you as hands or feet. a God who cares, a God who's always there to get you through. Whatever you may have to face in this life, he faces it with you. And you know that there's a glorious future ahead, a future when you'll meet him face to face. Paul is answering the call that he got from Jesus. Paul's passing on the word of God. He says just before the bit that we read today that he's a servant of the gospel. And now he says he's a servant of the church to make the word of God known to the people of God. His goal is to bring all of God's truth to all of God's people. All for the sake of Christ's body, the church. This is Paul's calling from Jesus. Paul teaches us in this passage that being a follower of Jesus is not necessarily easy. You may face persecution. He was in prison. If you read Acts, you realize that Paul was beaten up, he was locked up, he had awful journeys on boats, he had a shipwreck, he stayed in some grim places, he was hardly ever at home, he walked miles over really rough country, all in the pursuit of his calling from Jesus to follow him. In between, he spoke in public, sometimes for hours on end, proclaiming Christ, telling people about Jesus. He taught, he trained leaders. It was hard work. Paul says, to this end, I labor. But then he goes on to say he doesn't do the laboring alone. He does it in God's strength, in the strength of the Holy Spirit. I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul gets his fire, his impetus, his get up and go, his resilience, his strength. Paul gets everything from the Christ who lives in him. What he says we all have, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says in that passage we read that he wants these young Christians to be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He wants them to know Jesus. Jesus is all that matters. I like to think that the Christians in Southeast Edinburgh are united in love, in all the things that we do together. We'd be down at Liberton Hospital together this afternoon. It's really good to get to know and to love people who might worship Jesus in different ways. We're all following Jesus, and that is all that matters. We might feel that we're unworthy. We don't know very much about theology. We don't really know the Bible. But we just need to get to know and to trust Jesus. Paul tells us he's all we need. In him there's all wisdom and knowledge. And this is the basic work of discipleship, getting to know Jesus so that we can follow in his footsteps. Anyone who's following a calling from previous generations to do a certain type of work needs to work through their apprenticeship, needs to learn the basics of the job to practice it, probably to make mistakes and learn from them. Whether it's sailing or sheep farming, whatever, you need to learn. We all need to find out about Jesus if we are to follow him. Paul was an apostle, a man of extraordinary gifts of communicator, a man of amazing single-mindedness and resilience. And we're not all like that. But it was Paul himself who recognized that we all had different gifts and that we could all contribute to the church of Jesus. Remember his picture of the church as a body. Each little bit has its own job to do, but the head is Jesus guiding us along the way. And the body's diminished if one little bit is not doing its job properly. And this is an important body. This is Christ's body in our world. We may not persuade people with great arguments to follow Jesus, as Paul could do, but we all have different gifts. We might be able to show God's love to others in very practical ways. We do it here at Liberton Kirk in things like the Toddlers Group, or the Senior Citizens Club, or Messy Church. At the church's conference last week, Alan McWilliam was so inspiring, talking about his work planting a church at White Inch in Glasgow. Such a small group of people to start with, but getting involved in what the community there wanted and helping them to achieve their goals, working alongside. Just ordinary people caring enough to get alongside others and help them. Showing that the church, the body of Christ, loved them. Showing God's love in action. And we can do that too. We may not be able to write wonderful letters as Paul did, but we can support people as they try to follow Jesus just by listening, by being with them, either one-to-one or in a group. Later on in the letter to the Colossians, Paul says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another." So they're encouraging and supporting each other as they all try to follow Jesus. We might get frustrated, but Paul deals with frustration by doing what he can in his imprisonment. He writes, he encourages, he prays. We can all pray, even though we may not be able to do much else. And the ribbon of continuity which rolled out from Jesus through the apostles, through the early church, has continued to roll out through the centuries right around the world. And fundamentally, we are the same as the people who walked the earth at Colossae in the first century. We too are made in God's image. We too have that upward reach towards God in our hearts. Jesus calls us too. And around us we have all sorts of persuasive false teachers. Secularism, humanism, all sorts of other faiths, sometimes being quite aggressively promoted. We might begin to feel persecuted. And there are plenty in the church who would have us believe that we're a spent force. But if we've heard the call of Jesus, if we've asked him into our lives, then we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, What a privilege to be part of that ribbon of continuity, which is the Church of Jesus right across the world. An enormous group of people worshipping in all sorts of different ways, offering all sorts of different gifts, but all united in love. United in love for Jesus. What a privilege to have the chance to be the catalyst which could cause somebody else to hear the call of Jesus. Perhaps through something we say or do, or perhaps just because of who we are day by day. What a privilege to have the chance to encourage and support our fellow Christians as we all try to follow Jesus, to build up the body of Christ in this place. Paul summed up the mystery of our faith in 7 words: Christ in you, the hope of glory. The people who believed that then were the pioneers of the worldwide Christian church that we know today. If we really believe it, what could we achieve? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, our Saviour and Lord, and for all he means to us. We thank you for his Spirit within us, for his living presence every moment of our lives. And we thank you for the hope we have that one day we will see him face to face in glory. Lord, help us to follow in his footsteps every day of our lives, until that day comes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn is "The Churches Wherever God's People Are Praising." Let's stand.